I heard 1,000 billion times that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin and that he loves us so much to do that for us. And yet, at the age of 42, a few years back, I wanted to step in front of a train. Because I truly believe that God didn't love me. Came to the conclusion as a young boy, you know, I am morally bankrupt because I'm a boy. It was gender identity crisis. And this is something that I kept a big secret. Don't tell anybody. For 40 some years, I became extremely depressed. My first marriage was not going very well at all. Cry out to the Lord, help. My life is an absolute mess.
Stories stir the soul.
Stories reveal.
And stories heal.
In this podcast, we will give you an inside look at someone who's had a life-changing breakthrough.
Real people, real stories with real breakthroughs. As a health and wellness expert and coach, and Todd as a men's mentor,
we've seen firsthand what God can do when it comes to a breakthrough. So lean in, listen well. This could be your biggest breakthrough.
Hey there, and welcome to Your Biggest Breakthrough. I'm your host, Wendy Pett.
I'm Todd Isburner. And, you know, a lot of you listening to this show or watching it on YouTube really are hoping for a breakthrough, right? It's why we've named it Your Biggest Breakthrough. And yet it doesn't seem to come, right? It's just like, I'm waiting patiently for the breakthrough, Todd and Wendy.
TikTok.
Where is it? Well, hang in there.
Yes, hang in there. But you know what? Today we have a special guest. His name's Charles Wagner.
He knows all about waiting for breakthroughs.
He knows firsthand. This has been his journey, and he's waited a long time. He had a traumatic childhood and just a painful divorce, and he battled deep, dark, just horrible depression. And he even had thoughts of suicide. So he has just lived some dark valleys. But what happened on the other side, Todd?
Man. You wait till you hear.
A spiritual awakening that changed everything.
So Charles is now in his 60s. He'll mention that, so he doesn't mind me saying that. So he got kind of a late start on all of this, but he's an author, a prolific author. He's written 5 books. He's an avid student of the Bible. He's written commentaries. This guy is going after. He's also a radio host, and he's the founder of a ministry called Gramazin.
Yeah.
Which means?
Well, it's for Amazing Grace. But I say great and amazing. He's like, no, Amazing Grace, which I like that.
So it's Gramazin. It's a ministry that equips believers and churches to share their stories of how God shows up in real life.
Yeah. And he is the husband of Karen and father of Chad and Stephanie. And he is an avid walker, and he plays pickleball, Todd.
Yes, he does.
I love that. We love pickleball.
Well, listen, this episode is full of just very transparent, honest reflection on his life. He shares some things that he only recently started sharing with the public. And I think you're going to be really able to sort of open up your heart to hear what he has to say. He's got some real hard-won wisdom to share with you. So if you are in need of a little hope and a little boost to hang in there while your breakthrough happens, you'll want to pay close attention.
Well, welcome, Charles Wagner, to Your Biggest Breakthrough. We are delighted to have you.
It is so good to be here, and it's so nice to see you again after you were on my radio show.
I know. That was so much fun.
That was. You did a great job. You pulled all the goods out of me and Wendy, if there was anything good in there to pull out.
Yeah. So good.
But it's your turn now.
It is your turn. Yeah. And Charles, we want to start with your story. Hmm. So you have walked through trauma, rebellion, depression, even suicidal thoughts. And so God clearly wasn't done with your story, thank God, because you're here to talk about it today. But what was the moment where everything began to shift spiritually for you?
Yeah, well, just to first answer that question with a little bit of background.
I did
grow up in an evangelical family. We went to church twice a Sunday, and I went to vacation Bible school, and I went to Sunday school, and then my parents sent me to a Christian school, graduated from high school there, and then I went to a Christian college, and then I attended evangelical churches in my adult life. So I heard 1,000 billion times that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin and that he loves us so much to do that for us. And yet, at the age of 42, a few years back, I wanted to step in front of a train. Because I truly believe that God didn't love me. And
I got to just stop you there, Charles, because some people are going like, wait, what? After 42 years and as a little boy growing up in a Christian family and church and Bible studies and all that, how in the world did you end up at that place?
Well, I obviously the only Jesus himself can fully explain my life. But I do believe that something happened to me when I was 3 to 4 years old. I don't know exactly how old I was, but I always like to preface what I'm about to say by saying my parents are both with Jesus Christ. I can't wait to see them again. I have my father's Bible here. I have his testimony in it, his very humble testimony. My mother was a woman of God. She kept me going with Bible verses and all this. So I've got no axe to grind with my parents. So I just want to say that. But back when I was 3 to 4 years old, I did witness my father kind of having a bad day. And he was beating my sister. And then he also pushed my mother physically out of the room. And I made the deduction as a little boy, you know, I don't want to be like daddy. And then my mother, unfortunately, said, well, you're going to be just like him. And so I came to the conclusion as a young boy, you know, I am morally bankrupt because I'm a boy, right? Girls are better. Girls are better morally, ethically. And so what that began at a very early age in my life of a boy, my life would have been so much better had I been born female.
Like an identity crisis.
Mm. It was a gender identity crisis. And this is something that I kept a big secret. Don't tell anybody for 40 some years. And now I don't know why, because we can't credit me, but I assume God had a plan for my life, and he had a plan for Gremazin, and he had a plan for me leading Gremazin, and he equipped me with some skills to do that. And so I think maybe God protected me from going down the path that many other people go down with this struggle. I knew at a very early age that, dude, you can never become. I'm a woman, right? And so I would have wanted to have an authentic experience, you know, from the birth. And so I never went down the path of, let's say, transgenderism or anything like that. But it was a kind of an idol in my head. And it was, you know, I'm a very creative guy. And so there was this, I had the ability to create these fantasy worlds where I lived differently. When I didn't have to live it in real life, but I lived it, you know, in my mind. So get back to your question. I think this informed me and instructed me throughout, you know, the first few decades of my life that I was unacceptable to God. Like the God's going, dude, what are you doing? Why are you wishing you were something different? Ooh, that's gross, right? And God's like ready to throw the hammer at me, right? He's ready to smack me upside the head for that. And so I think that's really what informed me that God didn't love me leading up to that event.
Charles, I'm thinking right now that, you know, the power of someone speaking a word to somebody, no matter the age that you're at, or witnessing something that can cause that trauma and that distorted view of yourself. And so the power of a word. So we need to be careful with our words. They speak life and death. But this had you on a prolonged journey of a distorted view of yourself. And so there's a lot of people out there that have even been brought up in the church that may have distorted views of themselves. And so how did you start to see yourself differently? How did you get through this? I mean, I know this is part of the story that's unraveling here. But there's someone that may be suffering right now silently, just like you were. What would you say?
The story really came to a watershed moment in approximately the year 2004. Well, the years 2004 to 2006. I became extremely depressed. My first marriage was not going very well at all. I did not believe in divorce. I just didn't see a future for us. And so I was very, very depressed. Like I said, it made me suicidal. And my first wife did file for divorce. I tried to fight it. That was unsuccessful. I did end up raising my children through their high school years. I do want to also say that I am looking forward to seeing my first wife is with the Lord. And one day I will see her again. She's going to be perfect and I'll be perfect. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to that reunion. But it was a very, very difficult time going through a divorce. And And then I met this this young lady. We never were a couple. I was teaching a class and she was a student of mine, but we became good friends. But she was very needy. She was very needy. She was on welfare. She had been abandoned by her father when she was in her mother's womb. And then I subsequently learned that she was, had a drug addiction. And anyways, when she passed away of a cocaine overdose, that was what precipitated me to cry out to the Lord, help. My life is an absolute mess. My life has absolutely fallen apart. And I distinctly remember where I was, guys. I was walking up the hill in Exton Station. It was near Westchester, Pennsylvania. And I said to the Lord, I said to the Holy Spirit, please move on into my heart. Hang up your pictures. Put your furniture in there. And I remember I said, go into my closet. And boy, he did that. Within a few months, I went to a biblical Christian counselor, bless this woman's heart. And I went into her and said, I want to talk about a divorce. I've been through a divorce and this woman died who I really cared about. And oh, by the way, there's this gender thing I've had since childhood. She was the very first person I ever told it to. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what she grabbed onto? That's what she wanted to talk about. And so I don't have my baseball cap on, but I like to, the baseball cap was hanging over my eyes. I didn't want her looking at me. But you know what, guys, she did. Here I am. I'm a writer, so I'll pardon the metaphor. I'm vomiting out the brokenness of my heart all over her office and then my journaling. And I'm sure she wanted to go home and take a shower, right? I mean, ugh. And yet she kept saying, come back. Come back. Come back. And that was 4 years of that. And so I'm sure she gave me great biblical advice, but it was simply her saying, I am hearing the brokenness of your heart, your messiness, and Jesus still loves you. I still love you. And so she changed my, Jesus changed my life through her. And after her, I now knew that I was loved dearly by Jesus Christ, and that put me in a whole new trajectory.
Wow, wow.
And I do want to say, before we go to the next topic, I had the thrill of having her on my radio show last year. 13 years after she finished counseling me, she came on my radio show and talked a little
That's
bit about
so cool.
counseling. So Julie Lowe is her name.
Julie Lowe.
Man, I'm telling you, she was just she was the representative for Jesus that you needed in skin to be able to hear you out and to love you and to keep encouraging you. I'm going back to when you were, headed for the railroad tracks and going to do yourself in, and that you cried out to God and he answered you when you asked the Holy Spirit, come in, move in. And it sounds like even though you were, I think, in your 40s when that
42.
Happened.
I'm 42.
It's never too late. And I just want to take a moment to encourage our audience that whether it's you or it's someone that you love and know, and you feel like, well, man, they're in their 40s or 50s or 60s, it's just too late. What would you tell them?
I am experiencing right now, I'm in my 60s now, guys, and I'm experiencing the best years of my life. Absolutely the best years of my life. And there are problems. There are difficulties. I don't want anyone to think I'm living some, fantasy. Everything's perfect. But I have never felt as fulfilled as that I'm making a difference, that specifically that Christ is using me. I have experienced, I think this is really key for your listeners. I was suicidal, but I have experienced what Jesus Christ can do to transform your life and heart. He came in and he cleaned up the mess. Now, there's still messes for him to clean up, but he really did a makeover of me, and I can feel it, right? I can just feel it in my heart. And so, I'm in my 60s, and this has been the best years of my life so far.
As I think about your story, it's just like God melted you with his love.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, about how many there are who— they do seemingly do all the right things, going to church, reading the Bible, saying prayers, fellowshipping with other Christians. But inside there's some brokenness that hasn't been healed yet. And there's some shame that they carry. And just like you putting the baseball cap down over your eyes, you don't really want to look people in the eye because you don't think you're worthy, much less worthy of God's love. And for God to melt you down with his love to reassure you. Man, help us out, Charles. How do we get there in really believing that God has this deep love for us that can accept us and change us?
Well, I'm not sure if my answer is going to apply for everybody here, but I can share my own personal experience. That's what a testimony is. You know, that's my own personal experience. I discovered, guys, that I am a rebel from God. And I have tried to be my own God. I've tried to, you know, imagine that God, there's a throne, right? That whoever sits on the throne is the God of my life. And so God's sitting on the throne. I grab his arm and I yank him off. And I say, I can do a better job sitting on the throne of my life. So
didn't work out so well.
Yeah, doesn't work out so well. Right. And God, in case you don't know this, I'm not equipped to be the God of my life. But that is the rebellion that Jesus Christ died for.
Right.
That I tried to be my own God and tried to do things my own way. I tried to define truth for myself, you know, my truth. And then I tried to, you know, define good and evil for myself, which is what I believe Adam and Eve were trying to do. And so God, I had to get to this point where God exposed to me through a whole lot of hardship. I had financial problems. I had a bad back. I couldn't walk. I went through the divorce. I was loneliness. Yeah, yada, yada, yada. And God used all of that melting, as you say, to help me to say, dude, how's it working being your own God? And, you know, God says, dude, right?
Yeah, sure. Sure he does.
Especially the guys like you.
Dude, how's it going being your own God? It's not going too well. Why don't you humble yourself before me and fear me and watch me take over and transform your life? And so it really, for me, was learning from hardship that I can't be my own God. And then confessing that to God and then surrendering my life, saying, okay, I can't do this. You do it through me. And I don't know what you're going to do with my life. You're going to do something. And I think that was really what I needed to come to that point.
And
I haven't arrived, right? I mean, it's not like you arrive at some destination and you're perfectly surrendered to God. No, he's still working with me on this. So,
but yeah, he's working with all of us. And some of the great things that he's, you know, got you involved in and has you on this path of encouraging others and sharing other people's testimony through Gramazin, which is a ministry. And Gramazin is for great and amazing, right? Stories.
Amazing Grace. It's a play
amazing
on Amazing
Grace. Yeah. Exactly. And so why do you believe that sharing personal stories is really so critical to the health of the church?
Oh, there's many reasons. First of all, it builds unity. Like, I'm not alone anymore, right?
Right,
there's the,
right.
The person in the pew down the end of the pew who's also been through divorce. Now I can go over and talk to them and have a relationship with them.
Yes.
The part about sharing your testimony makes you look in the mirror and you ask yourself, okay, who am I spiritually? What has Christ done for me? That's a good thing to do some introspection. And testimony sharing is outreach, right? What church doesn't want to have outreach? I mean, I hope every church wants to have outreach. So that's preparing hearts for outreach, like being comfortable sharing your story, which is about the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Boy, I'm sorry, I get passionate.
No, it's good. No, keep going.
Stay passionate, please. I want to ask you, though, because I can just hear somebody saying right now, well, it's probably easier for Charles to do because he's got kind of more of the dramatic story. I don't have a dramatic story. I mean, I grew up in the church and I've towed the line and I don't know what I can share that would really impress anybody or help them understand the huge transformation like Charles went through.
I have two responses to that. Now I'm at the age where I might forget the second response while I'm giving you.
Go for it.
But the first response is, I already just did forget the second response. All right. So the first response is look at a highway, right? You look at a road, you drive down the highway, and you're supposed to go in a particular lane, right? You're not supposed to go on the lane of oncoming traffic, right? So if you go down the right road, you can avoid accidents, head-on collisions. If you go down the wrong side of the road, you're likely to have head-on collisions. And so there is something to be said for the test, you know, so the testimony of someone who's really had a messed up life, they went down the wrong road. They had the head-on collisions. But then the people that didn't go down the wrong road, they chose the right path. That is a testimony. That is a story, like, tells everybody, like, if you do what God says to do, you can stay out of trouble. Now, this is not health and wealth, okay? I'm not that at all, but I think God's laws are not to be mean. God's laws are a recipe for how to stay out of trouble in your life and to enjoy life. So somebody who's not had a broken life, that is a testimony. We all need to hear that.
That's so good.
That we know that if we follow God's ways as well, that's going to be good for us.
Oh, man, that's so good. It's just as powerful. And we just really encourage those of you who feel like, well, I don't have this dramatic, like I was on drugs or I was in prison and then I became a Christian. You got to, if you stayed in the right lane from the start.
I think we all want to stay or wish we had that story.
Really, we do. I mean, that's a powerful testimony. So don't hold back.
Did remember the second part.
All right, let's go.
All right.
So I think we don't really realize what we've been saved from. Okay. Mm. Do you guys understand that we were at one time destined for eternal separation from God? So that is far worse than any drug addiction. That's far worse than imprisonment. That's far worse than alcoholism. That's far worse than a promiscuous lifestyle. You were destined, I'm going to say the word, hell.
Yeah.
And Christ has rescued you from it. Talk about a dramatic testimony, right?
Yeah.
So every believer has a dramatic testimony, even if they say they have it, because of where God saved them from.
Amen. Oops. Yes. Drop the mic on that one. Mm. Like that's spot on. Okay. So you mentioned earlier that you are a writer. We know that. And you've written hundreds of prayers and two different 700-page prayer commentaries. So what transformed your prayer life, and how can the average Christian move from just kind of reciting prayers to truly having this intimate prayer life with the Lord?
I think the only way I can really answer that, Wendy, is to say that I needed to be broken. I needed to be broken, and there was no other solution than to cry out to God. And that is what really got my prayer life going. And then as I discovered that how much the Lord loves me, well, then you want to talk to him. It's fun to talk to him. I just call him dude. Well, no, I don't call him.
He calls you dude. Okay, let's get this straight.
Right. Yeah. So, get away. The lightning is coming.
I was just talking to somebody on another one, I guess, and about a movie, The War Room. War Room. They have the woman has this prayer closet. Well, my prayer closet happens to be in my car. So I get in there, and that's where my best prayers are from. But yeah, the prayer life is really motivated by thanksgiving for what God has done for me, for what Christ has done for me. And that's where the real powerful prayers have come from.
How did you go about writing that? I mean, first of all, it's a big book, 700 plus pages. But so is it just like written out prayers that I can read and recite to God, or are they commentaries on prayer?
Well, we're talking about five books here.
Boy.
So the first two, when I married my second wife, and I just want to put in this plug, my second wife asked one thing of me. She said, I want you to be my spiritual leader. That could not have been there could not be anything better, I think, for a woman to say to her husband.
Yes.
When I moved up here, we live in this kind of seaside, former fishing, shipbuilding village. And you just got to be an author when you live here. You walk down. So I have the Book of Common Prayer. You know, I'm thinking there should be a book like that. So if I have a car accident, there's a prayer in there. If I have, I guess, got fired from my job, there should be a prayer in there. So the Take Every Thought to Prayer is 757 prayers on different things that can happen to you in your life. So I wrote those two books. And then I was thinking about going to seminary. And I thought, I don't really see myself becoming a pastor. So I started an intense study of the Word of God. And so there's the Take Every Passage to Prayer. Volume 2 is 700 pages about the Gospels. So what I do is I pray. In every single passage I talk about, there's a prayer at the beginning of it. And then the whole book is written to God. So Father, in this chapter, we learn this. So the whole thing's written to God. And then I did that again for Acts through Revelation, another 700 pages.
Wow.
Wow.
And that's then impressive. I decided, you know what, I'm tired of being an academic, and I wrote a Christian fiction novel, which is about my personal story, and also that woman who ended up dying of cocaine. So I kind of changed the story in a little bit in a really interesting way. So that's my writings so far.
Well, that's, you got it. I mean, you're in the right spot to be writing. I mean, that's just required. When you're living where you're living, you better be writing.
You
right?
got inspiration right
and,
there.
And so... So we can find your books on Amazon?
Yeah, I can find it on Amazon. You can also go to my website, www.gramazin.com, and there is a quick link that has books, and it's got all the books on there.
And we'll put that in the show notes.
Yeah, too. Definitely put that in the show notes. So, you know, depression is one of those things that so many people really silently wrestle with. I know I did years ago, and we talked about that on your show. But within the church, they're silently dealing with depression. So what has helped you? I mean, I know the Holy Spirit, prayer, but I think there's even more nuggets here that you can unpack. What has helped you stay grounded when maybe those old waves of darkness kind of try to come back?
Well, I think the first response I get when you ask me that question is, I kind of kept people at arm's length from me for most of my life, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I remember, talking to my counselor, Julie, and she said, you got to share your story with your family. I'm like, what? So I did, and you know what? It went over okay. And then she goes, you should share it with friends. Well, that went okay. And then you should share it with people, leaders at your church. Oh, that went okay. And so there's this gradual building up of this big, deep, dark secret that I thought I used to have. And now I'm telling the world about it.
And
the point was, is you got to get out. I mean, if the depression is a darkness where you keep things to yourself, I think.
Yeah, it's self-focused inward.
Yeah, self-focused. Yeah. I'm thinking dark thoughts, and I don't want anyone else to be in my dark thoughts. It's when you share and open up to other believers in Jesus Christ, men and women, that's where that darkness starts losing its power. And when people know you're going through this stuff, it's really hard to stay in the darkness.
Which, honestly, that's... You know, I'm glad you're sharing this because, yeah, when God shines his light on the situation, you know, the enemy has to flee, like that darkness has to flee. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, like you said, this isn't so bad. People still love me and accept me. And then it's not this big, dark secret anymore because, you know, you've had the courage to step forth. But I believe that, you know, the enemy wants people to stay in loneliness and isolation and, you know, that place, because then they feel stuck, stranded, and they can't do what God's called them to do.
Well, and a plug again for your counselor, because I think sometimes people kind of shy away from counseling and thinking like, man, I don't know what's going to unravel it, or I don't really need them, or whatever the excuse might be. But I think you're really a great example of just the incredible value of being able to take the time, 4 years you spent working with her
weekly for 4 years.
Wow.
I think that's just so commendable and so inspiring.
When
Charles,
you have the right counselor.
Yeah. For those who might be struggling and wondering, how am I going to get through this? You really owe it to yourself to at least check out that avenue. Maybe you'll have similar results to what Charles experienced, because you're going to find out things you didn't even know were there.
Yeah. You did the work.
Yeah.
I also had the experience. Anyone cut you off there? But I also had secular counselors before her, and they gave me a bunch of mumbo jumbo, you know, you just need to have better thoughts. You just need to think better of yourself. And that just went nowhere, did nothing. Mm-hmm. I needed to experience the love of Jesus Christ. That's what I needed to have myself transformed.
Yes.
Well, I look at your life now. I mean, you're in your 60s and you kind of got a late start on some of this stuff being in your 40s. Nevertheless, it almost seems like God just accelerated the good things in your life. I mean, you're this prolific author. You've got a wonderful wife. You've got this tremendous ministry that you're involved in with Gramazin. You've got a radio show. I mean, seriously, that's very inspiring to start later in life and to see God just accelerate things. But what about that person who might be listening right now? And they are sort of in their later years of life and they're wondering, man, I don't know. It just might be too late for me to get going on anything. How can you encourage them to find out really what's in your heart and what might be the next step for you?
I can tell this person one thing. If their heart is beating, if they are breathing, there is a purpose for them.
Amen.
I really believe that I will die the moment my work is done for the Lord. That's when he'll take me home. So if you are alive, you've got somebody to bless, somebody to touch.
Good. That's so good. Like, no excuses.
Yeah.
If you're breathing,
get after it.
God's got something for you. So keep at it.
Yeah.
Or find out, what is this new thing? Maybe there's just been something in the back of your head or something that's kind of been burning on your heart. And you're just, I just don't know. I think I'm too old for that. Forget about it. Look at Charles. He's in his 60s and he's more active and productive than he's been all his life.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, let's think about, I've published over 2,000 pages in books. That's not, look at me. I'm just saying that's the number. And so what is that? What's that look like? Yeah, get up in the morning and you write a page. And then you write another page the next day. And guess what you have after 365 days? You got a 365-page book. Difference between somebody like me and others is simply I've done what they can do. They just need to do it.
That's good. Well, looking back at your journey, Charles, I mean, you've been through so much, but I love your attitude now and I can just see Jesus in you. What's kind of the biggest lesson, if you could kind of tie a bow on this, what's the biggest lesson that God has taught you about his redemptive power?
I don't know how to answer that without repeating what I've said.
Yeah. Okay. Because we've touched on so much of it.
Yeah, I did not understand, despite growing up in the evangelical church, hearing the gospel all the time, I literally thought, guys, I mean, you think I'm joking? I'm not. I literally thought that I was one day going to die because I had accepted Jesus as my savior. And then Christ would go, he accepted us. Now we got to let him into heaven, right? That there would be this regret almost in heaven that I had received Christ because I wasn't wanted. So that was where I was. That's when I was suicidal and broken. And I encountered the love of Jesus Christ. And once you do, there should be this thanksgiving that wells up inside of you. And that thanksgiving is the engine that drives ministry and drives loving others. And
yes,
it's the thanksgiving, the gratefulness for what Christ has done for you.
Yeah, it all goes back to that. It really does. I'm just thinking how many of us so often really we have this amnesia takeover where we really truly start to forget the depth of God's love for us because maybe we just haven't been in a good place and we're feeling like, man, this is not how someone who loves Jesus should really live. Then you start to feel that shame. You start to feel
those old emotions come up.
Yeah, and you start to back away thinking you're just not worthy. So just kind of last final word, Charles, but help us find out how do we renew this understanding and this belief of how deeply God loves us no matter what?
Well, one thing I would suggest is, can you guys go back, and I'm not referring to you two, but the listeners, can you go back and reflect, take some time to reflect on your life and think of what Christ has done? Think about, you were here, you met Mary, and then Mary introduced you to Joe, and then Joe introduced you to Jack. I'm just making up names. And Jack introduced you to Horatio.
Jesus.
Right. Jesus, right. Every single connection did something. It opened up a new opportunity. It took you into a new direction. You learned something more about God. You learned something about life. And I think it's, if we would take the time to stop being so busy in life and just go back and say, this is what God Christ has done for me. I can look back and see the threads that led me to where I am today. Yeah, I don't know. I think that's good.
That's so good.
You know, as you're saying that, I'm thinking about King David writing the Psalms, because how many times he'd remind himself of who God is and how much he's loved by writing it out and reflecting back on all the times that God showed his love and delivered him. So Charles, that is very practical advice. And I appreciate that, because I think that really, that's the starting point about renewing again the assurance that God really loves you. Just look back at all the instances that he's proven himself.
Can I just plug some? This sounds self-plugging or whatever the word is, but it's really meant for your audience. What we are compiling at Grimazon is a master list of links to believer testimonies across the nation. And we're calling it the Grimazon Testimony Center. Right now, as we speak, there's 580 testimonies we've linked. Our goal is to have literally thousands. And so there's a webpage you can go to. You can type in search words, like say divorce, and up pops testimonies that people, I don't know, have published around the country, like especially on YouTube or something, about how the Lord saw them through divorce. So I just want to encourage people to check out Grimazon.com, go up to Quick Links and choose the Testimony Center. And we just came out with an app, mobile app. You can do this right from your smartphone.
Congratulations.
And so all these people throughout the land, I don't know them, but they're believers in Jesus Christ who are publishing their testimonies. We're now.
Beautiful.
I love that.
Man,
I love
so
that.
Good.
And like you said, it encourages the body of Christ, and it helps people feel like they're not alone. So-and-so is going through this too, and if they can get through it, so can I. And so I love the heart behind your heart behind this. And
Get over to Grimazon.com and
definitely.
Also check out Charles' books. And Charles, we cannot thank you enough for spending time with us today, because you are just you're a delight. But
I want to end on a fun note.
Oh, you want to end on a fun note?
I mean, this is all fun. Okay. This is all fun, Charles. But I just want to figure out, like, what do you like to do, like hobby wise? Is there something you have, like some unique America's Got Talent kind of talent that we need to know about?
No, well, I my hobby really is Grimazon. I mean, I just love doing the ministry, but
that's
I
great.
Also get 11,000 steps a day. I'm
good
also,
for you.
Yeah, I have an electric bike, which I take out sometimes. But I guess the number one hobby is real quick. I bought a guitar a couple years ago. I had a guitar when I was a teenager, and then I got rid of it. And then we bought a guitar, and I decided I wanted to learn. And the Lord put me together with a guy named Peter Mercurio. This guy is a genius. With not only he knows everything about music, and he has a multi-instrument talent, and we hit it off as friends, and now we're songwriting. So
that's so cool.
And specifically, we are writing Christian music, but we don't want it to sound like your typical worship music. It's music that would you'd expect to hear on the radio in the 60s, 70s, 80s. Sound like secular music you'd know growing up, but it got Christian themes in it.
Well, hold up. Maybe y'all should go on America's Got Talent.
There you go.
Hello. Maybe this is a prophetic little planting of a seed here.
Well, I just love that you're...
I'm the lyricist. He's the genius with the music. We co-engineer it.
But, well, you're proof again that you're never too old to try to learn something new or start something new.
That's
so
right.
Bless you for that.
So bless you, and thank you for sharing your testimony with us. Well, that's a wrap for today's show. We hope you enjoyed it. As always, we love spending time with you right here on Your Biggest Breakthrough podcast. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode. But until then, just head on over to yourbiggestbreakthrough.com, where you'll find some free resources and information and a place where you can comment. And we would love to dialogue with you there. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.